Deuteronomy 22. And Deuteronomy 22, we're going to pick up at verse number 13. Again, the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the land of promise. And Moses, since he's not going to bring them in, Joshua will. Moses is giving them instruction before they go in. He's just going back over the different tenets of the law that's been given them on Mount Sinai. And he's going back over these things. So Deuteronomy 22, verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. But if the thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, and they shall bring her out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. Father, thank you for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. Father, we pray in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Notice the process. What you've got going on here concerns different issues, different matters concerning when a man takes a wife. And in this instance, he finds out that she's not a virgin, and he supposed that she was and expected her to be. So notice the process. A man takes a wife. He is to take and propose. Her part is to yield and assent. Look what it says. It says, verse number 13, if a man take a wife. So he takes her. She doesn't take him, he takes her. And her part is to yield and assent. Be willing, she has her say in the matter. And in the Old Testament, he would purchase his wife. He would buy her. He would purchase her. And even though he was willing to purchase her, she still had a say in the matter. She could say yea or nay. But he would take her. He would propose. She would assent. And again, then it says, and go in unto her and hate her. So first he takes her. After he takes her, after she is his wife, he has the right to go in unto her in sexual intimacy. Not before. Not before. There's a right order. And the order is he takes a wife. And once he takes a wife, then he has the right to go in unto her in an intimate manner. Okay, that's the order. But the Bible says, speaks of a situation here where he takes his wife, he goes in unto her, and then it says he hates her. After marrying her, he comes to hate her. Now, what does the word hate in the dictionary mean? It means to dislike greatly, to have a great aversion to love less. Now listen, for action to be taken here, it must be a legitimate cause of aversion, not merely no longer meeting his notions of what he would like or what is pleasing to him. Do you understand? The Bible says he takes his wife, he goes in under her, and then he hates her. Okay? But we go on, we're going to find out there needs to be a legitimate reason for this. He expected he was getting a virgin. He expected that. She's not that, he thinks, or he's accusing of. And so this is the issue that's either real or he's trying to make an issue. Not a matter of she just no longer meets his notions of what's pleasing to him. Too many men today want to marry a porn star rather than having a loving helpmeet. Too many men today are wanting to get married, and they are wanting to marry, I'll say it again, a porn star rather than a loving helpmeet. You cannot have a sweet, innocent girl and also expect her to look, act, and behave like a club dancer. And see, what's happened is, pornography has gotten a hold of so many young men and got a hold of their minds. Amen. That they have notions in their mind of certain things. And then even if they get saved, they somehow think, my wife's going to be this way. You're out of your mind. Amen. Why should she? She has no notion of being that way, and that's good. But yet what happens is they expect to be a certain way because of what they have allowed themselves to fall prey to. And so now they have this scenario in their mind that, to be honest, we can't be met. And instead of just loving that person and growing together as a man and woman, just growing together in every part of their life, now he's upset and he's disappointed. Young men, stay away from pornography.
Amen. Amen.
Stay away.
Yes, sir.
You are, listen, it is idiotic. It is sinful and it's idiotic.
Amen.
Because all you're doing is paving the way for trouble for yourself in your marriage down the line. And you will think something's wrong with her when nothing's wrong with her. Something's wrong with you.
Yep.
And what's wrong with you is not that you have a natural desire as a man, but you have now prepped yourself and set yourself up for something unreasonable. Instead of being happy and satisfied to grow together as husband and wife. And if that be the case and you've poisoned your mind with pornography, ask God to cleanse you from it. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you come out of that thing. And He will.
Amen.
And He will. You're to love and to grow together. The Bible will help you. Quit your preconceived notions and unrealistic fantasies and take that person for who they are and love them and love to learn to love them more. And that's worth saying again. Quit your preconceived notions, your unrealistic fantasies, and take that person for who they are and love them and learn to love them more. Ephesians 5 says this. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. Ephesians 5, 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Learn to love her more. Let me ask you something. I'm going to say this to husbands and wives. Are you marrying a person or an image in your mind? Are you marrying a person or an image in your mind? Do not try to enhance yourself with props or paints. To do so is deceitful and dishonest and paves the way for trouble. Don't get upset if he can't handle you without your props and paint and stuff if you got him used to it. Listen, I'm serious. You will cause trouble. You say, well, I'll never find nobody that way. You'll find a good one and you won't have troubles. Moms, don't ever tell your daughters, we need to prop you up a little here, pad you a little here, put a little this on. And because someday that has to come away and off.
Right, amen.
And what then? That is really borderline on a wicked thing to do. Like, well, I got you now. So you can't do anything about it now. That was deceitful.
Yes.
And it happens all the time.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not being ugly when I say some things. I love you and I care and I want to shoot straight with you. Listen to me. I never will forget, there was a girl in our barracks and she was late for work one morning. She was sick and me and somebody else had to go get her. So we both went to go knock on the door, and honestly, I hope it didn't show on my face. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just telling the truth. I hope it didn't show on my face, but it just about took me back, and I'm not kidding. Because I had always seen her at work done up, and I mean, nothing was done up, and I mean, I thought, oh, I hope it didn't show on my face. It shocked the daylights out of me. I almost didn't know who she was. And I thought, now what if some fella married her? And which is fine. Not that she, it's just, it just kind of was hard to get used to a moment there. And it was like, it had been like, well, whoa, that's kind of, listen, y'all, I don't mean this ugly. Don't mean this ugly. But there was a gal named Phyllis Diller. And Phyllis Diller made a pretty good bucks over not being the most attractive person that probably ever was. I mean, you know, I think she probably was. Most people have a little bit. But Phyllis Diller, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come, you know, well, you know what? I never forget. Somebody had it work as a magazine or something like that today, and Phyllis Diller had, they had done her up. And I mean, you'd be like, that's Phyllis Diller? And she was an older lady about time, but they really made her look nice. And then they showed beside her what she looked like before. And it's like, whoa. And she just did it, you know, to be doing. I mean, she knew what she was doing, right? I'm not cutting nobody down. I'm telling you, she knew what she was doing. She had the before and after, and it was such a contrast, all right? What I'm telling you is this, listen. There's tricks of the trade that can make anybody look good. But you can't maintain it. And who are you underneath it all? They used to have that place called Glamour Shots. And people go to that Glamour Shots. And I mean, they can work miracles. I mean, I'm sure I'd be a challenge. I'm sure I'd be a challenge, quite a challenge. But quite, do we have to laugh that hard, my brother? But I'm sure I'd be a challenge. But they could probably even do something. But I'd feel like, I mean, a donkey's rear end, man. I'm sorry. To go into a place like that and come out and like, because I'm like, it ain't me. She'd laugh at me. We'd probably both end up laughing, getting so tickled. And they'd be like, well, I can't maintain that. And it's not who I am. Listen, somebody needs to love you for who you are. And you can grow in that and something wonderful happens and takes place. Now, I'm serious. I want to help you out. Are you marrying a person or an image? Listen. If he is not spiritually what you want him to be, quit fantasizing about others you wish he was like. If she is not physically what you want her to be, quit fantasizing about others that you wish she was like. Whether here or listening on recording, if you are fantasizing, if she's not spiritually or physically or spirit, what you want her to be, quit fantasizing about others you wish she was like. Knock it off. Yep. It don't care if you're doing it in your mind and not saying anything about it. God knows about it. It ain't right. Knock it off. If you are fantasizing about what he spiritually or physically should be, I wish he was like somebody else physically or spiritually, knock it off. Get it right. Because it ain't right. Listen, look at each other, accept each other for who they are, work and communicate with each other to be all you can be in love to one another. And if you constantly find fault, you're going nowhere. Now, I'm serious. Listen, nobody in this room married anybody because you were forced into it. God didn't make you marry the person you married. You chose to do it. God didn't cause you to do it, make you to do it. You chose to do it. You look at that person and you take, and listen, you say, well, I don't agree with that. Fine, you're wrong. God didn't have you, listen, you made a choice.
Yes, sir.
You may have fooled yourself. You may have thought you were being spiritual. You may have thought you were being, but you made a choice. And you know what you do? You look and you take that person for who they are and you learn to love them for who they are. Just like God loves you for who you are. You think you don't give the Lord fits sometimes? Now, I'm going to tell you right now. You made a choice. You take and you love that person for who they are. You ask God to work on you. You try to be what you can to help them. Now, I'm serious. This hatred we see here has to do with a legitimate reason. Not that they no longer meet the notion of what you think they ought to be. Too many women marry a man because they have designs of what he's going to be spiritually. I'm serious. And then he don't measure up, and then it's all downhill from then. Or he marries thinking she's going to be this way physically, and she's not, and it's all downhill from there. Let me tell you something. You both messed up. Amen. You take that person now for who they are, and you learn to love them, and you do what that Bible says. Of course, you don't have to, but you're going to be one miserable person. Go ahead. Get yourself out of it without a biblical, scriptural, legitimate reason according to Scripture. I tell you what I'll do. Somebody comes my way and says, well, what do you think about so-and-so? I'll say, run, son. Don't you get yourself in that. Run, lady. Don't you get yourself. They done made one person miserable. They make you miserable too. Bible gives some scriptural, legitimate things, but we're talking about here, what I'm talking about here in just a minute, are individuals who no longer, it meets my notion, because you know what? You had plans. You thought what this person was going to be. You had this view of what it was going to be, and you know what? When they didn't start meeting your view of it, then you know what? You're done, and you're upset, and you're, and it goes both male and female both ways. And when you do, listen, when you enter into that thing with this notion of how it's going to be or how you're going to get them to be or how it's going to be, you don't understand what you're doing. You should, listen, if you want the thing to have a better chance of making a good go at it, you ought to take and like being with the person. Amen. Both pulling the same way, knowing your places, putting God first, and God can do something wonderful and good there. Don't you sit there and think, well, some people just luck out. No, they don't. Amen. It ain't a matter of some people luck out. Some men are willing to try to run their homes, and some women are willing to submit. Amen. And some men won't step up and be a man, and some women won't stop trying to be a man.
Amen.
Amen. So it don't just happen.
No, sir.
It's not just luck.
No,
sir. And let me tell you something. You can have something good by the grace of God, at least on your part. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You can at least do your part. And if the other person don't, God will step in there. God will step in there. Now I want to help you. Listen, take your Bible just a minute. Take your Bible just a minute. Listen, go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I tell you, we got a mess today. Little children, youngins, get the worst for it. You know why we got so many psychotic, neurotic kids today? There's no stability in home. There's no security. And a youngin in a home that doesn't feel secure will try to come up with all kind of neurotic ways to survive, to get some kind of attention, to do something, because they have security there. A lot of it gets down around to, you know what? We're just selfish. We're just selfish. Ephesians 5, look at verse 28. So all men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Do you know why you don't love your wife? Because you don't love yourself.
Amen.
You are miserable with yourself. You will never love her until you can get your guilt and conscience cleared. You're miserable with yourself. A man that can't love his wife, a man that claims to be saved, that can't love his wife, is miserable with himself. Because you know what? A man will love his wife even if he loves himself. But look here. You know what? Look, a man, of course we love ourselves in the sense of we care for ourselves, we clothe ourselves, we feed ourselves. And a man that's where he ought to be, he'll do that for his wife. He'll care for her. He'll do those kind of things. But listen, too many men, they don't love themselves. They're miserable. The guilt and their conscience is tearing them up. And until that gets cleared, let me tell you something. You can't love anybody.
Nope.
And I sure hope you don't mess somebody else's life up.
Yep.
Really? Really? Listen, you need to ask yourself. May God help us, everyone, to ask yourself, am I doing all I can do to be the husband or wife I'm supposed to be?
Amen.
Am I trying to do all I can do? Am I trying to just say, well, Lord, the bottom line is, am I just doing what I'm supposed to do? Did it ever occur to you that God just might step in and give you grace and help or come? But listen, when you stop and you concentrate on the other person, don't expect God to do nothing.
Amen.
Why should He? You're just as bad, you just can't see it in your own way. Oh, may the Lord help us. May the dear Lord help us. Why does a man not love his wife? He can't love himself. He's miserable with himself. And you'll never love anybody. You'll never love anybody. You can love yourself in the sense of being satisfied with yourself in Christ. And have that conscience cleared, that guilt taken care of. All right. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 22. What happens here? So he hates her. But why does he hate her? Well, he's got legitimate reasons. Verse 14. And give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gates. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter to this man to wife, and lo, he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. So listen. If a man accused his wife of not being a virgin before they married, when he thought that she was, if he accused her of this, he was possibly, potentially bringing shame upon her and her family if the thing was true. Now, not today. Not today. I mean that's big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big issue. I mean, man says, like, I took this, I paid for it. Yeah, I paid for it. And I expect her to be a virgin. She was supposed to be given away as a virgin. And she's not. Now, that's a huge charge. Because he's bringing shame on her and her family. Now, not today. Can you imagine that today? What? Virgin? What's that? I mean, seriously. I mean, seriously. And listen, thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank God for cleansing in Christ. You understand? You understand?
Right, yeah.
But I want to try to teach your kids here the right kind of way.
Yeah.
Bring them the right kind of way. I mean, come on. But that was a shameful thing. And it still should be a shameful thing. I mean, seriously. So, but he couldn't just bring that charge. He had to have evidence. May I say this? If you make accusation in anything in life, you better have proof to back it up. Really. If you make accusation, better have proof to have back it up. So notice the father is the one dealing with this because he's the one that would give her away. He's the one who handles the thing. Lead, fathers and husbands, handle things. Fathers, husbands, lead. Handle things. That is on your head. Handle things. Sir, your father, your husband. Listen, that's why in marriage ceremonies that I do, and I'm sorry. I don't like this stuff of who gives her away, her mother and I. I like it. I do. Her father. I think it reminds us of some things. That dad's the authority. There ain't none of this co-authority stuff. Mom's got her place. I understand that. But that's the reason. Look, it was not her mother and I. I gave her away. Because why? Because the responsibility is on my head. Not hers. Not co, me. And listen, and that means there's a great accountability before God Almighty one day. I take that thing very serious. I think you know this, but you need to, I think you know this, but you ought to count it a high thing I done for you and the high regard I got for you for me to take that hand and put it in yours.
Amen.
I didn't do it lightly.
Amen.
I know you know that. I didn't do that lightly. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have you the esteem that I hold you in and think you were real.
That's right.
Serious stuff.
Yes, sir.
It's serious stuff. And brother, listen. That father, that husband, he's to be the one. Step up to that plate. Lead, make decisions, handle things. So what would happen in this case is if he come up and said, you said you sold me a bill of goods, it wasn't true. I mean, because he did purchase. You purchased your bride back then. You did. You literally paid for her. You bought her. And if you have a problem with that, Christ bought us with his blood. He buys his bride with his blood. But so he says, look, you're supposed to be a virgin. She's not. Well, evidently what would take place then is, which you would think the guy would have had more sense of it to do that if the thing was the wedding sheet. Because if she was truly a virgin, then you know what would happen. There should be a blood flow that there should be some blood that night. All right? Because she's a virgin. And we won't get all the details, of course, but you understand what you deal with the Bible says. Amen? And so that sheet would have that stain of blood on it. All right? And so that sheet would be kept, not washed, because that's proof. That's like a receipt. That is like a receipt. This is proof of her virginity. I gave her to you. You purchased her as a virgin. I purchased a virgin. I gave her to a virgin. Okay, here's the proof of it. It's like a receipt of the thing. Okay, and the family would keep that thing up, evidently. That's what we're seeing here. So in case of something like this, they could say, which, I mean, you would think. Fella, if the thing ain't true, what are you doing? Because that's going to be an embarrassing thing. You know, I mean, can you imagine? Okay. Your wife, you and a virgin. And you know, I guess he's hoping like maybe they washed the thing. Maybe it faded or maybe they got rid of it. It's like, honey, okay. They bring out there and spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And that poor woman's got to stand there. That poor woman's got to stand there while she is publicly embarrassed there and her parents and all the elders of the city, because he brought this thing up, now have to look at this thing. And it's like, okay, you know. And he looks like jerk of the world, bud. He does. And he ain't getting off this thing now. You done run your mouth, you're going to pay for it now. Brother, and you think that sometimes I'm hard? What? God wants his people a holy people. What notions do you think it's going to be like when Christ returns? What do you think heaven's like? It's a holy place. It's a holy place. Thank God. Listen, I'm just telling you folks. They don't play around. And they spread that thing out there. All right? And that wedding sheet with blood would be the security of that thing. Be evidence. And might I say here that the blood of Christ is our security and evidence of salvation. There's another token of blood that is evidence and security of a transaction. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ as evidence and security of our salvation. So if she was a virgin and he had lied, there it is. And he was to be chastised and charged. The word chastised in the dictionary means to punish, to inflict pain by stripes or in another manner for the purpose of punishing an offender and calling him to his duty. To immerse means to punish by a pecuniary light penalty. So what would happen is, the verse 18, the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver. We know they made him pay. That may have been all. I don't know if they striped him or not, because it says they would chastise him and they shall immerse him. It may be linked together. The chastisement may be the immersement, the punishment by pecuniary light penalty. I don't know. I don't know if they whooped him also. They did for different things. But definitely he got to pay a price. To slander someone, especially in order to get out of your responsibility, is a serious offense. To slander someone in order to get out of your responsibility is a serious offense. Are you lying about others in order to keep yourself from being found out? Are you lying and trying to shift blame to others? Well, okay, your day's coming. You will be found out. You will be found out. You can duck and dodge and you can juggle and you can this and that and the other, but your day's coming, you will be found out. Now, if it was true that she was not a virgin, if it was true. She was to be publicly stoned. Look at verse 20. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones till that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. That's serious stuff, man. I'm not playing around. I'm not playing around at all. And brethren, you can count on in the millennium. Don't be surprised for these kind of things to in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in that time period, if someone claims to be a prophet and they're not, his parents will thrust him through. Lord's not playing around, brethren. These are serious matters. And you know what? The devil knows this kind of stuff. That's why he's got women today to not understand and know their place, and they can just be any way they're supposed to be, and everything's supposed to be fine and dandy. They can just take and you know what? And shame their father. But see, the thing of it is, today they're told, no shame, nothing to be ashamed of. Say what you want, girl. When you get alone, you're ashamed. Say what you want. Say what you want. Let me tell you something. Fornication's wrong for a man and a woman, but young lady, you lose something. You lose something. God so set it up that a girl's never the same then. Now listen to me. It's sin for both. But I'm going to tell you right now, that man takes a wife, and there's something precious about that. Listen, the Bible's speaking here of bringing a shame upon her father's home, bringing a shame upon that nation. It's a serious matter. Oh, I know today. Well, I shouldn't be ashamed. Well, some of you work in environments where females will brag about it. Brag about their partying. Brag about their drinking. Brag about this stuff. They can brag all they want, but they got to get alone sometime, buddy. And I tell you what, they know what they are. Well, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You think others are rips. You're one too. Say those unnice things. Sin's ugly. But I'm telling you what, there's victory and there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying to you? The blood of Christ is able to forgive, able to make you whole. You'll bear some scars, but you can go on. But go out and pretend like that you're something you're not. You don't go around here and drink and hit bars and lay with anything and think that you are of the same character of some girl trying to keep herself pure. You're not.
Right, right.
Now, don't get me wrong. Both need to be saved. Just keeping yourself pure don't mean you're saved, of course. But it has to do with a right kind of thing. And we've got a messed up thing today where it's I can be just like I own it. Don't you think less of me? Don't you think less of me? You think less of yourself, you just ain't faced it yet. You think less of yourself, you just ain't faced it yet. But let me tell you something. You think less of yourself. Because once you start, you keep doing the drinking, you keep doing the running around, you keep doing it because you're so miserable, you're so unloved, you're so used and unwanted, you feel so bad about yourself that you're going to keep it up because you can't stand it and you're trying to find something to give you relief. And the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just the truth. It was such a serious offense that if it was true, she was to be publicly stoned. There is going to come a day that this Bible is going to be hated even more than you see what it is now. Because this is God's attitude. This is God's word on these matters for his people Israel during that time period. They took her out and they stoned her. She had wrought folly in her father's house. It was a public shame. And these stones were got up and they were going to stone her. It's a serious matter. Let me tell you something. You and I ought to lift up our voices in thanksgiving for God's grace because, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. We'd have been dead by now.
Yes,
how many of us in this room would have been dead, in hell, gone, done, but for the grace and mercy of God in Jesus Christ? And I'm going to tell you that right now. Now listen, this was the dilemma that Joseph in the Bible found himself in. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 1. Matthew 1. Now, see, Joseph had not yet come into Mary. But he finds out she's with child. And he knows it ain't his. What's he going to do? Matthew 1, look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now they were married. They just hadn't consummated the marriage yet. They had not laid together yet, but they were married. She was his wife. He had the power of life and death over her. You understand that? They were married. He had the power of life and death over her, even though they hadn't consummated yet. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now notice, Joseph was a good man. He could have had her publicly stoned. Now they had not come together yet, so there was been no deal about the sheet or nothing like that. But come on, he finds out. She's pregnant. He knows it. All right? So he's not been with her. She's pregnant. What's he going to do? Joseph could have taken her and had her publicly stoned. Public example. But he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. But he can't have this. So what he's going to do is he's going to privately divorce her. That was allowed. As we're going to see in Deuteronomy, that was allowed. This was also allowed. By doing so privately, he would not... But listen to this. This speaks to us about Joseph's character. Because listen, by putting her away privately, he would not be specifying the charges. Yet in sparing her, look what Joseph took upon himself in sparing Mary. In sparing her, he would now have possible blame placed upon himself. What do you mean? Well, there's no charges. No charges, but it's going to look like they fornicated. It's going to look like possibly that they fornicated. There's going to be some that will not, because Mary, he knows it. She's found out. Some are going to know. He's not going to bring specific charges, so they're not going to stone her. But if he privately puts her away and divorces her, again, he doesn't have to bring public charges. Okay, public charges. But if he takes her, like if he spares her, okay, if he doesn't do either one, if he doesn't put her away, if he doesn't have her stoned, it's going to look like his child. Now, and we know that it's not, of course. And anybody who wanted to check it out and talk about it and ask them would find out. Most people didn't care. But you know, what did they say? They said, well, they thought it was Jesus, the son of Joseph and everything. That's what they thought, you know, many of the people. But they didn't care enough to find out. But listen to me. It's going to look like to some that Joseph and Mary have had relations outside of marriage. Or prior to what was supposed to be done, out of the due order. Okay? Because she's pregnant. Even though they're married, they've not come together yet. And there's a time period here. It may look to some, it could look to some as a funny thing. Brethren, what I'm saying is this. Just as Christ would take the sin and blame of the world upon himself, Joseph then is the man of character to have the Lord Jesus raised in his home. And perhaps not so much, look here, perhaps not so much as Joseph teaching him anything other than some woodworking, but yet understanding him and his purpose. Think about it just a minute. Jesus comes 12 years of age, the Lord Jesus, and he knows his calling is what the Father's called him to do. They say at around 12 years of age, a young man would start to be concerned about his father's trade. All right? Around 12 years of age at those times, you would start being concerned about your father's trade and picking it up. So they find Jesus around 12 years of age where? In the temple. And what does he tell Mary and Joseph? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? He's reminding them, look, I'll become a carpenter, but my true father's business is not a carpenter trade, because Joseph is not truly my father. He's just reminding them, my father's business is what I came here for the whole purpose for, my heavenly father's business. And it kind of reminds them of that. And Joseph, listen, here's Jesus in the temple teaching those men of the law, those doctors of the law and all. But no doubt Joseph's going to teach him a trade. But you know something? The way Joseph handles this thing, like I said, some could, if they wanted to, have made a charge that, well, Joseph and Mary laid together, maybe they weren't married, or before the time they were supposed to consummate it, or who knows what kind of things could be raised against them. But Joseph knows that the Lord has told him to take that child. He's going to do it no matter what anybody may think or say. And I think, brethren, that may help him understand the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that he would have to go through and endure. You know, we don't know what happened to Joseph. He's off the scene. Evidently, it seems he had died. We're not getting much details about him. Everybody always puts the emphasis on Mary, because Catholicism does. Because Catholicism tries to make her into Diana and Artemis and the Queen of Heaven, like in Jeremiah. And it just does. And they always put the emphasis on her. But let me tell you something. That Joseph had to be quite a man of character to take on what he did. He had to be quite a man of character. I would imagine the father was pretty careful about the home he allowed his son to be raised in. I imagine it. It wasn't a home that had a lot of wealth. So I guess that didn't matter, does it? Yes, that didn't matter. But it was a home of someone. It was a home. Listen, it was a home of a man. The father let his son be raised in the home of a man who was concerned about holiness and right, who realized right has to be done, but I don't want to just let and just out of a wrong spirit just have Mary stoned, and I don't want to have to do that, but I can't put up with this. And he's going to try to do it in an honorable way. And not until that angel tells him, it's okay, Joseph. It's all right. But even with that, there might be some tongue wagging. There might be some tongue wagging. But you know what? Joseph's a man to handle it. He no doubt had faith and he had trust. And he can trust God with it. Go back just a minute to Deuteronomy 22. Now, you know something? Let me say this. You know something? I could just imagine somebody trying to give the Lord some advice and saying, Lord, I don't know if you ought to have your son come like that, because some people are going to think he's illegitimate. That kind of could look funny. Well, that's God's business. Well, Brother Austin, why did God do it in such a way so that a lot of people would think that Joseph was his father? Because if somebody really cared enough, they'd seek and ask questions and find out the truth of who Jesus was. Amen. The Father brought the Son into the world in such a manner that it would reveal where heart's at. Do you care enough to even find out? And most didn't. What did Jesus say to them? Search the Scriptures, for they are they which tell of me. And then you think you have eternal life, and they are they which tell of me. You know what the Pharisees say one time? Search and look. No prophet coming out of Galilee. But did you ever find out where he was from? Did you ever care enough? Brethren, I honestly believe you had to know something was different with him. He's healing people, making dead people live. You know what I think the deal was a lot of times? I don't want to know. I don't want to find out. Because as long as I can convince myself in my mind, he's a Galilean. He don't fit what Bible says Messiah is supposed to come from. As long as I can tell myself that, I ain't got to believe him. But if I ever once search and find out that he fits the criteria, I'm in trouble now. I'm going to have to do something with him. I'm going to have to receive. I don't want to find that out. Brother, people are like that. Keep me in blissful ignorance. Because if I ever find out, now I'm accountable. Well, you're accountable anyway. Because to keep yourself from finding out truth shows that you don't want truth. Now, it just does. All right? So I really believe the way that the Lord had the Lord Jesus come into this world, is it just fits everything else with his life. It was so done in a manner to reveal where hearts are at. if I was going to put forth a book that I wanted you to believe was perfect and had no error in it, I'd never write it like the Bible was written. So why? Because the Bible is filled with things that seem like are contradictions, and yet it has no contradiction. But God allowed it to be done in a way that it looks like it. Why? He's going to find out where your heart's at. He's going to find out, will you trust Him? Will you go that far and trust Him, even when you don't understand, and believe Him, and search, and look? Listen, the word capital W and the word little w, I mean the Scriptures, both appear in such a manner as to pull out where the heart is. The Father sent the Son, and the Father sends His Word in such a manner as to pull out where hearts are at. Amen. Listen, that Bible looks like it's filled with contradictions. See, when you're the ultimate authority, you don't have to worry about trying to what things look like. You just do it in truth.
Amen.
And then the burden of proof is upon men as to will they love you enough to trust you, believe you, and even search to find it out. See, look, the Bible critic says, 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, these verses don't match up. See, you can't trust the Bible. The Bible believer says, no. Look and see what it says. Get the whole context. This is just giving us the full picture. And so the Bible critic gets what he's looking for. Justification to reject God and His Word. And the Bible believer gets what he's looking for. Justification of the trueness and faithfulness of God and His Word. God has so made that book. God has so made that book and the Savior. God sent the Savior and sends that book in such a manner, you'll get what you're looking for. If you're wanting Jesus to be just a man and a deceiver, God so sent Him and so had Him minister that, okay, if that's what you're looking for, that's what you'll find. But if you're looking for Him to be the Messiah and hoping that He is and want to find out the truth about it, you can find that out. And some did. But so many didn't. And it revealed where their heart was at. And so, brethren, the way the Savior came and the way that word is given is done in a matter. Lord, you're wonderful. You're so wonderful. As to pull out and reveal where we are at. That being said, what does it pull out and reveal about us? There's something you're not wanting to face. You know something about that book? It don't pull no punches, does it? Phew. There ain't no book like the Bible. Just cleans your clock, man. Just pulls out and shows you where you're at and what you need to be. But it provides the remedy in Christ and His Word. It gives us what we need. But listen, where are you at? What is God's Word maybe pulled out in you that you're not wanting to face? Is there something you're not wanting to deal with and not wanting to face? Well, you're dealing with it. You really are. You're just dealing with it in the wrong way. What are you going to do? These verses, it's a serious matter. This matter of virginity. Maybe here, maybe listening on tape, someone say, but, well, am I ruined? Am I done? I mean, now look, first of all, you didn't make some mistakes. You sinned.
Amen.
Preacher, I've gone and I've made some mistakes, and I'm not. No, you didn't make mistakes. You committed sin. But the blood of Christ, and listen, you're not going to get that restored. So just stop. You're not. But the blood of Christ is able to cleanse, able to forgive, and God's able to give some good stuff. There was a gal in the Bible that she didn't have virginity any longer, and it wasn't given up in love. It was given up for money. And she had a clientele in a place called Jericho. She was a Canaanite. And her name was Rahab. And she wasn't even a Jew. She wasn't even an Israelite. But that gal repented. And she turned. And she turned to the true God. And not only did God spare her, I'm sure for her that had been enough. God spared me. I know the true God now. But God finds some fella in Israel. We don't know much about what his past was, but you know what? He wasn't worried about a past when he could see that somebody had chosen the right future. And he took her. And that gal, who's not even an Israelite, not even a Hebrew, God used to be the grandmother of kings. And she is the grandmother, even in the earthly lineage, of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Rahab. Isn't that something? Glory to God. Amen. Oh, what God can imagine. Isn't that something? A Jericho Canaanite whore. And she's a great-grandma, David. And her lineage stretches to the Messiah. But you know what she had to do? I am what I am. And it ain't right. And no excuses. And she had to turn from her false gods and turn to the true God. And be willing to leave all that behind. And come to a strange people. But do so for the truth. And look what God did with her. But also I've really... Okay, you're right. Okay, I got you. No mistakes. But I've had some sin in my life that's really messed me up. I mean, I've got... You're okay, got you. And you know what? There's some things you can't get back. If a man loses his arm because of wild living, he ain't gonna get that arm back. There's some consequences. But you know what? Come to God and admit what you're saying right now. Come to God and admit, no mistakes, you've willfully sinned and rebelled against God and lived for yourself. Trust the cleansing blood of Christ. Trust the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on your behalf. Let God give you forgiveness and restoration in Jesus Christ. And there's no telling what God could, can do in your life now. And you can't begin to imagine on the other side. But you've got to face up without excuse what you are. And face God with your sin in Christ. Father, thank you, Lord. Lord, please help us. Father, help us to really, Lord, chew upon what we've looked at this morning. Father, I pray to God, help all married couples here or who would listen to this recording to realize, Lord, they've got to stop. Lord, concentrating upon what the other person isn't. And just be all they're supposed to be with joy and peace. Father, any couples, dear God, that have got preconceived notions, Lord, and would even start to fantasize about others who are spiritually or physically what they would like them to be. Father, I pray, help them, dear God, to repent of that wrong. And Lord, look at that person they are married to. Take them for who they are and let you work in their life, Father, to be all you'd have them to be. Father, help these young folks here, dear God, to realize the dangers, the dreaded dangers. Lord, the sin, but then the dangers, dear God, also of unclean things such as pornography. And Father, if there's anybody here, Lord, listening right now to what I'm saying, either here or on recording, and they're not saved, Father, help them to quit looking at their sin as just slip-ups or mistakes, but call it what it is, sin and rebellion. But Father, be willing to see the provision you made in Jesus Christ and be willing, I pray, to turn to you and accept the forgiveness, Father, that you offer in Christ Jesus. And it's in His name, Father, that I pray and ask this. Amen.